Good morning. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we are excited to have a guest speaker here with us. She has been at the center over in Jonesboro, the Pregnancy Resource Center, for the last 3 years. But of course, I know that being pro-life and being passionate about that has long been in her heart, even before she started the center over there. So it is my pleasure to invite Catherine Warren to come up here and speak to us this morning.
There you go. You're welcome. Tissue. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm not nervous at all, you can tell. My husband was saying this morning, you know, when you're passionate about something and you're knowledgeable about a subject, you know, it should be easy, but it's so, and sometimes it's even harder just being in front of people, you know. And it was so nice coming into a couple of familiar faces. A couple of my Brooklyn students, I used to sub for 7 years at Brooklyn, and God had me there for a season, and he always has that perfect thing. I thought he wanted me to teach. I may go in directions I didn't plan, so if we're here for 2 hours, I digress. But I thought he wanted me to teach, and got out there, and like I said, was there for 7 years, and went to all these job interviews and didn't get hired. And I thought, gosh, Lord, like, what am I saying? You know, am I talking about you too much? Or, you know, but it was because he had a perfect plan. And as Ashley said, I volunteered for 3 years on Fridays. And I just, you know, I loved it and I felt called there. And even my being there is a testimony in itself. I really thought he wanted me to be there, and he's really grown me just in the 4 years that I've been there. There's a lot of ministering that goes on inside the center. There's about 9 of us ladies, so you can just imagine what it's like. Wonderful women, the bond and the unity, the strength, the passion, the joy, the tears. I'm a very emotional person, so they can usually know, like, even my husband, I said, we're just two blubbering ball bags. But anyway, and so a position came open, and I wasn't even asked to fill the position. And so I was kind of, you know, a little bit hurt. And I said, you know what, God, like, obviously this isn't your plan. I felt called here. And I'm just going to keep volunteering until you show me what else it is out there, because it must be awesome if it's not this. And then our new director came on in January, Valerie Long. And we always have prayer before our day starts. And she said, hey, Catherine, you want to work a couple days a week? And so I'm getting paid to do what I would do for free and meet amazing women. And so we are located on Main Street, if anybody doesn't know where that is, in Jonesboro. I was surprised to learn that a lot of people don't know what we even do. They think we're kind of like Planned Parenthood, which is the farthest thing. And you have to be careful in your wording and your marketing, because you don't want to say, hey, come here, we'll talk you out of an abortion. You know, so you have to be, you know, very particular about how you word that. We're nonprofit, so we're funded by people just like you. Our salaries and the lights, everything we do is donation-based. What we offer are services. Mainly what we put out there is free pregnancy testing and confirmation. A lot of girls do test at home, but they just want to confirm it for Medicaid or just for their knowledge that for sure I'm pregnant. We offer ultrasounds. We don't put that out there a lot because our mission is the abortion-minded woman. And if we just put it out there, we offer ultrasounds. Everybody just calls wanting a free ultrasound to see their baby. And that's really not even necessary. We usually do those between 8 to 10 weeks. When they come in, if they are definitely pregnant, we give them a confirmation bag. It's our way of saying congratulations. It has diapers, wipes, formula, prenatal vitamins. We have women, their ministries to us are just to crochet blankets and hats and little booties. We put those in our bags. We now offer new services this year. One is called Empowerment, where if you find yourself pregnant, you can come in and take an 8-week class. It's on Tuesdays from 1 to 3. We'll have a doctor come in or a lactation specialist, people that just help empower you to be a mom. And we just offered, and this is awesome, my concern was like, well, we're supposed to disciple, and we get these girls in, and then as soon as they leave, what? That's it. So we now have Embrace Grace, and it's led by one of our new staff members, Sabrina Coleman. She goes to Highland Drive Baptist in Jonesboro. She actually meets with these girls for a Bible study to help them grow in their walk with Christ. We see salvations all the time. It's amazing to get to be where you can talk about the Lord and not, you know, fear reprisal that you're going to get fired. And we're Holy Spirit led. I'm going to tell a story, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell it. I'm going to probably get off my page, but I had a client come in, and they come in once. If they come back for an ultrasound, hopefully, if they're not 8 to 10 weeks, we try to get them to come back, because at least that's given them more time to think about the situation. So this girl comes in, and she's not my client. I didn't see her the first time, but again, being Holy Spirit led, we just kind of, you know, discern where she is. And I noticed the whole time she was getting her ultrasound, and she was abortion-minded, she just kept rubbing her belly. I mean, just rubbing her belly back and forth. And that was, you know, just, I was fixated on that. And I thought, she has got the prettiest hands. I mean, something as simple as noticing how delicate and fragile her hands were. And so when I brought her back to the room, we always give them a couple pictures to take with them. And I said, you know, I noticed how pretty your hands are. And she lost it. I mean, her countenance changed. She just broke wide open. She was, she doesn't have any family here. No one loves her. No one has said to her that she has pretty hands. That's the kind of people that we see. I mean, that's the kind of girls that come in. We actually were donated a mobile unit, so we're able to go out to ASU. That's a big place to find girls. You know, you've got a plan. You come, you're going to college, you're an athlete, and then you find yourself pregnant. We get to go out to Marion. My husband actually works in Marion. And I actually volunteer. Some of our staff actually volunteers on, you know, outside time to go do different things. Post-abortive recovery, that's a big thing where we are. We want to love these women all the way through their pregnancy. If you know, we tell them, my job is not to change your mind, not to dissuade you or to push you to choose life. Obviously, we want them to choose life. God's the giver of life, and he honors life. And I tell them, you know, in the Old Testament, it was seen as a curse if God didn't open your womb. So if he is in charge of everything, and everything that happens to you has to be filtered through your hands, he allowed you to get pregnant, then he's got a plan for that. That life and a purpose. Anyway, we have a post-abortive Bible study that you can do if you've made that decision. We have a wonderful lady that leads that, and we want them to know that if you make this choice, you are still loved, and you can be whole and healed. The enemy likes to keep us in bondage and tell us that you can't talk about it. You know, you can be an ex-addict or, you know, went to jail, but, you know, heaven forbid you had an abortion. You know, that's not something you can just talk about freely. The enemy tries to keep you in bondage and live in fear. So we want them to know that we love them no matter what their decision is. We offer counseling on, you know, you have three options, parenting, adoption, and abortion. We're able to give them three really good places they can go to talk to someone, three different adoption agencies. But that's not usually how things go. You're either really happy or you're really not happy. So we just want to show compassion and let them know that someone does love them. And I've called, you know, as an advocate, you call and you follow up, and I really don't like to do that. And I'm like, can somebody please do this? I just do not want to do it. You don't want to call and say, hey, did you go through with that abortion? Or, you know, how'd that go? And sometimes, you know, they say yes. And you say, you know what? When you're ready, you will need it. You know, come back and see us. And they say, thank you. I appreciate that you really mean that. That, you know, you care, even though I made that choice. So what do we really do at the center? We meet women where they are. And as I was putting what I wanted to say together, I thought, you know, it's called Sanctity of Human Life Week, and I'm glad it's not called Sanctity of Baby Week, because you're doing more if you're a part of what we do. You know, they say find what God is doing and do it. You're saving men and women. You're saving countless more lives than just that baby. You're saving these women's lives that didn't expect this. And one of the nurses always says, you know, we say, oh, were you planning on being pregnant? No. And she says, well, yes, you were. Having sex equals planning a baby. So technically, that's a consequence of sex. You're going to have a baby. I'm hoping I'm not being too graphic. And I liked on the insert they gave us, CareNet, we're kind of under their wing, that Mary was the first unplanned pregnancy. And I thought, well, you know, I saw some arguments on the Facebook post about that. People like to argue, well, it was planned by God. It wasn't unplanned. We know that. But Mary, when she found herself in that situation, I know that she said, you know, let it be to me and unto me as you said. So she was fully accepting of that. But it still, it was a hard place for her to be in. I couldn't imagine what, you know, those people said to her and about her. That was a tough position. I was going to give you a couple of other examples of clients that I saw that really gives you a picture of what these girls look like. I had a client who came in whose boyfriend tried to run over her with his car in front of her children. And she said, if I could just get to Delaware, I have a sister and family there, and they said they'll take care of me and my kids. If I can just get there. And I said, you know, I know God's going to make a way, and I can't tell you how that's going to be, but I just know in my heart that he's going to make a way for you to do that. So a couple of months went by, and we try to follow up, but most of the time you can't get people. And plus, our number is actually blocked because we can't really call people that don't want people to know that they're pregnant, you know, and our numbers show up. So I call them on my cell phone, and I get a lot more answers. But anyway, this girl calls the center, and I happened to be there. It was one of my days to work, and asked for me. And I said, hey, how are you? And so I was like, let me pull her chart so I can kind of get a picture in my mind of her story. And she said, oh, I just had to tell you, like, I made it to Delaware, and God is doing the most amazing things. And she told me all about her trip and how her sunroof leaked for, like, two states. Her tire blew out. And I had told her, you know, let me know how things go, because that helps increase our faith when we see God do something and answer prayer. I had a client who was told by the doctors that she could not have children. And I always say, but God, you know, he's bigger than a diagnosis or a doctor's opinion. So I asked her, I said, is it okay if I pray over your womb? And she said, sure. You know, I'm sure that seemed kind of weird. But she came back a few months ago, and she is pregnant. So she's about 4 months along. I had a client who went to an abortion clinic in the last couple weeks. They told her she was having twins. So that kind of got her to thinking, like, I really need to think about this. So she came to us just to verify that, in fact, she was having twins. And she was. And she chose life. And she got saved. I just, you know, God is so good, and I can't even really express in words what it means to get to be there and to see this day in and day out. God redeeming lives, you're talking about redemption. He's redeeming lives. We're all broken vessels. We've all got a story. You know, word says, you know, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. He's got a good plan, and he's going to work it. In 2017, we had 608 total visits. That includes those who've been there for, like, a previous pregnancy, or even they came more than once. Maybe they had an ultrasound the second time. But 421 of those were first-time visits. So we saw 496 girls last year. That doesn't include all the no-shows, because we have a lot of no-shows. 135 of those were abortion-minded. 68 of those were confirmed changed minds. So the number might even be higher than that. If that doesn't seem like a very, well, 135 and only 68 changed their minds, that 68 lives saved plus how many we don't know about. We see everyone. We see the person sitting next to you right now. Young girls with pastors for fathers. I can't do this if my father finds out he's the pastor and how's that going to look? I'm a role model in my church. These kids look up to me. I can't be pregnant. And these same girls I'm talking about chose life. Most say they're Christians. That's on our intake sheet. When I go in to speak to a girl, you know, they see the nurse first, do the urine test. She asks them medical questions. And then I take them into a room and we talk about just statistical information, where they live, who they live with. 70% identify as Christians. I would even say the number is higher than that. When I say, what's your religious preference? Christian, Catholic, atheist, Buddhist, other. 99% it's Christian. And so that allows me an opportunity to present the gospel, because I say, you know, before I check that box, I just want to make sure, like, we're saying the same thing. Like, you believe in God, you believe his son died for your sins. And they're all like, oh, yes, yes. But they don't relate that to the decision they're about to make. They compartmentalize. You would think stable married women. I had one come in Friday. She is married, about to be 40. They have a 5-year-old. And she decided that she might like to have another child. And she had this cough. And she thought getting off her pill might help that cough. Crazy as it seems. So she didn't tell her spouse, and now she's pregnant, and his first statement to her was, how could this have happened? You know, you're on the pill, what have you done to our family? He wanted to go to Disney World, and that was going to make it really complicated if they had to take a baby along. So obviously she didn't want abortion, and she even said, look, I'm not going to be able to stay with him if he makes me have, you know, go this route. So we talked about it. Hopefully he'll come in with her, but she's going to come back for an ultrasound. You know, you guys can be praying for her that she will choose life. It affects you. You think it doesn't affect you, but the effects, it's not a quick, easy fix like everybody thinks. The average age is 23. We see anywhere from 13 to 45. Of the girls we saw last year, 504 were single, 104 were married, so marriage does count. It does make a difference. We talked about ASU students. We see a lot of ASU students going to college. They get away from home, and they think, you know, my parents are paying for me to go to school. I can't do this right now. As women consider abortion decision, the typical reaction or expectations from church were that people would be judgmental and condemning if they found out that they were pregnant. And the only reason I include this is because we're the church. This should be the safe place. I so appreciate you guys having me here, because I didn't realize that, I guess it's seen as such a controversial issue that people don't want to talk about it in their church. But on top of that, they don't even have a ministry or someone that can say, hey, I know where you can go. Something that simple can change the world. And I noticed on the insert, it said the courts can make abortion illegal. Only God, through his church, can make it unthinkable. We can do that. The numbers are dropping. The enemy knows it. And so Planned Parenthood, he knows it so much and does not want us to succeed. They actually had a week about 2 months ago, I think, where they just set out this huge agenda against us. They had people calling, fake callers, fake clients, to try to show how we're the fake places, that we're not legitimate, we're not saying what we actually do, we're trying to trick people. But they were going to have college students call, go on our website and post negative reviews, say that we were liars. We even have a rule where you have to ask permission to shut the door when you're in with a client so that someone doesn't say we tried to, you know, keep them there, detain them. 51% of women agree churches don't have a ministry prepared to discuss options for unplanned pregnancies. So we can do this, little things that we can do. I had one mom who didn't want her other child to think she was selfish because she wanted more children and didn't want to devote all her time and attention to that child. We had one mom come in who didn't want another child because then she wouldn't be able to give the first child everything. I mean, if you can think it, we have seen it and heard it. And I want to talk about the after effects. On that sheet where I asked the girls questions, if you had come in and you had a previous abortion, I would ask you if you've suffered any of these things. Why? Because they're proven. These are the consequences of abortion. It's not a, we'll take care of this and we'll be fine. Alcohol abuse, anniversary syndrome, changed attitude toward children or God, depression, drug abuse, eating disorders, flashbacks, nightmares, relationship problems, sensitivity to sound, suicidal thoughts, uncontrollable crying. We tell them the risk. You could die. I use every tool in my arsenal. They're selling body parts. And I even had a girl come in and I used that and she said, well, if they can benefit from that, then, you know, if science can benefit from my decision, then I'm fine with that. Girls put up walls. You know, they really can't deal with it, even though they think they're okay. I've had girls come in and say, I'll be fine. I know me. Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It might be difficult, but I'm fine. And they're not fine. They don't realize that the issues they have, the drug and alcohol abuse, the relationship problems stem from that decision. There's not a lot of research done on men and how it affects men, but it affects men. 2,500 abortions per day nationally, more than 58 million since 1973 when the Roe versus Wade, and we can still be praying that that's overturned. We just had a March for Life, 500,000 women. It wasn't even on TV. Of course, you know, they had the TV review for the march the next day for the other side. That's 152 abortions per hour for 45 years. And like I said, the numbers are dropping slowly. We're winning. God is winning. We know we win. I'm going to have you guys watch a video real quick. And this is actually one of our staff members, Precious Susanna. She is the sweetest person ever. So we'll watch that real quick.
My name is Susanna Key, and I'm from Brooklyn, Arkansas. I had my abortion when I was in college. I just wanted to be, you know, your traditional career woman. I didn't feel like having a child at the time would be the best thing for my life. I could really only see, like, what was important to me. It was selfishness, you know. It was not thinking about a baby in another life. It was really just, well, I can't do everything I want to do and have a child. I thought it was going to be a quick fix, and it wasn't a quick fix. It was terrifying to go through. Afterwards, it was an emotional roller coaster that I've never experienced at any other time in my life. I knew that God was real, but I was just so bitter. When you've had an abortion, you feel like it's the worst sin. That's why no one ever talks about it, because it's hard to admit. It was while I was in basic training that I ended up going to chapel on Sunday, and I started going to the Bible studies before church, and when I went, it was like the best teaching on mercy and forgiveness. And I was just like so happy, and I couldn't stop smiling, and like it was just like that feeling of acceptance again. That's exactly what I needed to hear, that He did not leave me, and He was never gone, and it was just me and my decisions that landed me where I was. And it all started sinking in that, like, hey, you know, I can be forgiven for this too. The enemy is the one who wants to keep us quiet, because if we don't share things with each other, then no one's ever going to learn from others' mistakes, and we don't want other people to make the same mistake I did. That's why I reached out to the PRC many years later, and I wanted to volunteer. I learned that I had to go through the post-abortion class before I started working here. Going through the PRC's post-abortion class was amazing, and in such a good way. It was so healing and so hard at the same time. I want all women who have been through an abortion to feel the comfort that I felt. If anyone who has had an abortion wants to try to go through a Bible study, then contact the PRC. I want people to focus that God is our healer. He is the rock. He is the strengthener. He is going to put us back together the best way. My name is Susanna Key, and I found hope, help, and healing at the Pregnancy Resource Center.
You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to suffer through that. You can choose life. Let's watch the next one.
My name is Ashley Baker. I'm from Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, and I got pregnant when I was 19 years old. Life before my pregnancy definitely was a lot less planned and organized. I found out I was pregnant on a Friday. I was an athlete, so I just kind of was thinking it's normal to not have a regular period. And my mom just asked me one day, she asked if there was any way I could be pregnant, and I said no. And later on that evening, I took a test, and it said pregnant, and I just knew life was fixing to turn upside down. I was definitely sad. I was confused. I was helpless. And I needed someone somewhere in this world to give me some hope that I could get through it. I reached out to my boyfriend. I told him I was pregnant, and he immediately said that we needed to have an abortion. That following Saturday, I made an appointment to have an abortion. In the meantime, I'd reached out to one of my friends who was saved and a Christian, and he told me, don't make any decisions until you talk to a guy at our local church. And so that Sunday, I went into Bobby's office, and I just poured out my heart to him and told him what was going on, and he said, there's this place I want you to go, and it's called the Pregnancy Resource Center, and they'll talk to you, and I don't want you to make any decision until you visit with them. The moment that I knew that abortion wasn't for me was when I was sitting in the room at the Pregnancy Resource Center, and there was a little model of your child in the womb at a certain amount of weeks, and it just made me realize that no matter what happens, if I walk out of the Pregnancy Resource Center and I choose to have an abortion, that I still have a life inside of me. There's still a child inside of me, and I just knew after talking to the women at the Pregnancy Resource Center that there is hope. And I just remember them praying with me and praying through my decision and just encouraging me that I can do this. And for once, when I felt broken, there I was healed. I mean, there was just people of great character just encouraging me, and they thought I was worthy enough to be a mom. And that was when I walked out of the doors and I knew that I was going to choose life. I would say that if someone was out here tonight and they're pregnant and they didn't know what to do, they could definitely find help at the Pregnancy Resource Center. They just pour into you. They don't judge you. They are helpful. And anything that you, any question that you have that you're going through or you're experiencing, you can find all of that there. They're going to explain things to you, like the different stages that your baby's at and how they'll grow and what they'll look like when they're growing. My desire is for every girl to get to watch their child grow, because no matter how impossible it seems, it's possible. And all you need is the right people to push you, and you just have to have that. And at the Pregnancy Resource Center, they definitely show that, and they continue to show that anytime you need it. My name is Ashley Baker, and I found hope, help, and healing at the Pregnancy Resource Center.
I love PRC.
Yeah, so you can go that route. What can you guys do? We can't all have awesome jobs at the center. God calls us to different ministries. You can pray. You can pray that Roe versus Wade be overturned. There are three bills being voted on right now in the House and the Senate. Pray for the girls that are coming in every day. You can actually get daily text, the number is 51660. You can just type that in and text PRC and then reply yes to that, and you will get a text every time an abortion-minded client comes in, and you won't believe how many texts you'll get. I would say 2 to 3 daily that we see abortion-minded. I go in on Wednesdays and Fridays. Those are my days. And so I pray specifically when I first get there over our staff and our board and our volunteers and the young girls coming in, and that God would soften their hearts before they walk through the door. You can give monthly. You can become a LifeLink donor. We're looking, I was told to say this, I don't usually like to ask for anything, but you can become a LifeLink partner for $50 a month. There are so many things that God's wanting to do and expand. I'm believing for a new building on this property that's right down the street from us. When I drive by, I see that that's our property, and so I'm believing for that. We are wanting to relabel. Ours is kind of dated. When I first started volunteering, I pulled into the back drive and I thought, ooh, that kind of looks like 70s-ish stuff. So we're needing to rebrand, and we know we need about $1,000 a month for marketing to do the things God's wanting us to do. We'd like to see more men involved. We have the empowerment class. You can actually bring your partner with you. We want guys to get involved. It's just really difficult to get guys involved. But we have gentlemen that actually are available that want to help these young men. It's just hard to get commitment from them. You can go to jonesboroprc.com/support. You can attend our yearly banquet, which is awesome. We always have a wonderful speaker meal. We have grown tremendously. We're so thankful for our donors. My main thing is just asking people to pray. There's so much power in prayer, and we know it works. You can share. Like I said, just having me here today, this is the first time I've done this, but a lot of churches don't even address it. Or if they do, they won't allow someone to come and speak. So just the fact that I know that you guys care enough to have someone come and that you will be telling people about what we do. That's my thing, is word of mouth. You guys are going to run into someone facing an unplanned pregnancy. Tell others about us. Support women. Don't let fear keep them in bondage. It's a terrible place. Volunteer. We need volunteers. What I do is, I call myself, I just talk to girls. That's what I do. But we need people that, if called, obviously you have to be like-minded and believe in what we believe. We believe in life in every situation. We need people to come in for 3 hours a week even and talk to girls. We don't have a lot of volunteers, mostly right now. I think we've got about 4 volunteers that aren't on staff, and we love and adore them. But even 3 hours one day a week, if you could just come in and talk to, and obviously you need to be female. But do a center tour. Emma really said, you know, talk that up. Do a center tour. You can bring a group in, and we'll feed you a light meal and just give you a tour of the center. That way you can really get a feel for what goes on there. And really, that's kind of all I have. I just can't tell you enough what a wonderful work God is doing there. It's not just about the baby. It's about changing lives and saving lives. And that's what God's all about. So anyway, thank you so much for having me.